Sasquatch.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot to do the My fault.
Hooray.
Canceled it. Cancel everything.
Welcome to Sasquatch, everybody. I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Aaron.
We've all seen Infinity War. We hope you have too. Because there are going to be spoilers. We're not holding back, folks.
Yes, this is your official spoiler warning.
Yes, we're talking about the whole movie.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, what are you doing?
So don't complain.
Don't do it right
You've
now
been warned.
Before listening to this.
We're talking about the whole thing. But first, let's talk about what we're drinking. I'll start. I'm drinking a fine Pilsner beer called Stieger. I'm not exactly sure if that's how you pronounce it, but it's really fun to say it that way, so I'm going to. It's a product of Austria. And it's a fine Pilsner beer. You know, it's more of a German-style Pilsner than an Austrian-style Pilsner. So it tends to be a bit more bitter and dry. That's it. I'm done.
I got one. I was out in Colorado last weekend. It is Grist Brewing Company's Tartanium Berliner Style Weiss wheat beer. So it's like a sour wheat beer that was really good. They had a lot of different stuff I tried when I was out there, but this one I brought home, I love it. It's really good.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Aaron, are you drinking anything fun?
Kind of. I got from Omaha, Nebraska, a little place called Brickway Brewery. I am drinking their Maple Pecan Brown Ale.
Ooh.
12 fluid ounces of 5%. What is sure to be deliciousness.
Oh, yeah.
Nom, nom, nom.
Have you heard the Omaha, Nebraska, the rap?
I absolutely have.
I just hate every time somebody says Omaha, Nebraska, that's what I hear every time.
There's an Omaha, Nebraska, the rap?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Go look it up. I'm going to Google it real fast. The artist here, it is.
I tell you what,
just the
worst. We'll link it. We'll link it on the episode. So read the description
to see the link. Lucky Charm and White Mike.
Oh, perfect.
White Mike spelled with Y's instead of I's because.
Really?
It's
uh-huh.
He's White Mike.
Listen, when you've got street cred to rep on your rap, you better have those Y's instead of I's, yo.
That's true.
It's true. It's real. Streets of Omaha.
OMA. So both of your beers sound excellent. My Stieger is very, it's very tasty. It's a Pilsner. But I was really hating. I was a hater on the sours for a long time. And I think I'm coming around. Especially on hotter days, they are really nice.
Yeah, and there is a difference between the ones where they use whatever yeast that makes it sour versus the places that just cram a bunch of sugar and stuff into it and just make it either too sour or it tastes like a gallon of sugar.
Right, because the first sour that I tried was one Wild Sour Ale. I don't know the brewery. I don't care to know the brewery. It was terrible.
We made it was. That, didn't we?
Yeah. It was the worst thing I've ever tasted.
Oh, yeah. It was literally like taking 15 warheads and putting them in your mouth at the same time.
God.
It was awful.
No, thank you.
Strawberry warheads.
Well, I mean, if there's any warhead you're going to do that with.
I guess. Well, should we move into the movie?
Let's do it.
You saw it just yesterday, right?
I saw it last night.
Okay.
Last night.
And
I have
what
a...
What day is it?
I have a little bit of a, like a bit of a, to my shame, I drank too much and I had to go to the bathroom a couple times. I know.
You'll have to tell us which parts you went to the bathroom.
I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you like the one that I really remember that I was like, oh, I missed something, was the beginning, the introduction of Vision and Scarlet Witch. When I came back in, they were already beginning the battle.
Oh, no. Well, okay.
They didn't.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. They didn't really say a whole lot or not a lot happened. So
It was, I didn't really figure, but
yeah, it was just kind of lovey-dovey stuff from what I remember.
Yeah. You missed that they have an established relationship now is basically all you.
That's kind of what, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Cool. So that one, you're good.
What was the other time?
The other time, I actually can't remember when that was. Actually, no, I think I only went once during the movie. I think I did. I managed to, because Doug had the foresight to tell me, if you're going to go to the bathroom, go at the beginning of the credits, because there's no mid-credit scene. First spoiler, everybody, no mid-credit scene.
Yeah, that's the first spoiler.
Yeah.
There wasn't, which was, I don't know. That's the first time in a while they haven't had one there, but I don't really know what you would have done at that point.
I like it. It adds a greater level of severity to the movie, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's a severe movie. But yeah, so that was it. Just that one time, and I didn't really figure I missed much. But how do we want to do this? Yeah,
I've seen it twice. I saw it Saturday and Monday. Mm. So I'm glad I've seen it twice. I mean, I would have seen it twice at some point anyway, but I'm glad I did now because it really was. I mean, what happened, the movie doesn't stop happening. There's no real lull for more than maybe a couple of quick scenes. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to go the second time and not have everything happen to you all at once and trying to figure it out. And then of course the ending, which we'll talk about, was shocking in such a way that I could just kind of sit back and watch it and be entertained by it the second time around rather than have all the emotions and stuff attached to everything going on. So I'm glad I've seen it twice by now.
Yeah, I was certainly not disappointed. I went in with high expectations and was still impressed. I think the pacing, which is one of the things that I hear people kind of knocking about the movie, not really knocking, but like saying it's one of its few flaws. It's to be understood when you're trying to tie so many things, so many threads together into a coherent story. But I loved the pacing of the movie. I feel like it only has a few little lulls, and those are really more to give the audience a breath. Like, because every other minute of the movie is like, oh my god, and you need those scenes where it's just like, oh good, oh Stark is bantering, oh I know this is safe.
Yeah, it really was. It was fan service, the movie, but in all of the best ways possible.
Yeah, I thought that's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
and Aaron, you saw it. What you saw it Monday. What were your initial thoughts?
I would agree with Ben. I really enjoyed the pacing. I know a lot of people have not been too happy with it. But again, with everything that they were trying to fit in, the pacing was good. I thought it was really smart of them to, with the Thor Ragnarok, to kind of make that more lighthearted. Because he was his first interaction beyond the initial encounter with Thanos. Is with Guardians of the Galaxy, who is also known for very lighthearted, kind of bantery stuff. So they really needed some kind of connection between Earth and the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, and Thor played a nice middle ground there.
That's a good. That's a good. Good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and kind of to be meta about it too. I think it's good that they had Thor Ragnarok, and then next is Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is also a little more lighthearted, not quite comedy-wise as Thor Ragnarok, but it's kind of sandwiched in between a pretty...
Yeah, but I mean...
It's dour is not the right word for Infinity War, but...
No, but it's grim. No. You know, it's... Yeah. But Ant-Man and, you know, I expect Ant-Man and the Wasp to be very almost campy, like... Ant-Man is, as much as it was a heist movie, it was also like a throwback superhero movie. It felt very much like a, I don't know, like a Silver Age or even Golden Age, like probably Golden Age is what I'm thinking of, like the Ant-Man.
Yeah, a little bit of camp and he's running with ants and the ants are big.
Yeah, and he's got like special ants, the crazy ants who mess with electronics.
Fighting on a train set against his arch nemesis.
So,
I do wish we'd seen the Edgar Wright version of that movie, but that's for another day. Another
conversation. That being said, I'm a little disappointed by the absence of Ant-Man and Hawkeye in this film. Not that I'm a huge Hawkeye fan. However, he's been there from the beginning. Give him, you know, give him his day.
Do we? I mean, I think there's a reason for it that will pay off in the next one for sure. I don't know what they would have done with those two characters, because you look at everybody who's basically on Earth after the first, what, 20 minutes or so?
Yeah.
They don't really have much to do. They like go to Wakanda, and then they wait around, and then they have the big battle at the end. And you're really just putting two more characters to not do anything in the movie at that point.
That's true. Yeah.
That's fair.
But we'll see what they do, because maybe if there's nothing for Hawkeye to do in 4, then it'll be super disappointing. Like, what? Where was he?
Yeah, like that's, yeah.
I'm wondering if maybe they will accompany Captain Marvel and her entrance into the MCU as a whole scale. I don't know exactly how, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because we don't know, and we will know by this time next year, where she's at and how she fits in, because her movie takes place in the 90s. Obviously, I'm pretty sure they'll tie it in by the end of the film.
Sure.
But. They're going to have to explain why she has just not been around when all this other stuff's been going on. And then this was the moment where they called her in.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait. I know practically nothing about that character. So I'm excited to see the movie, and I'm excited to see how she'll fit in into the story after Infinity War.
Did you get the reference when he hit the beeper when that logo came up? Because I know a lot of people, like, I recognize it, but I read all the comics. I'm way too into it from the get-go. But did you recognize it? Like, did you guys know what was going on when that happened?
I recognized it once the blue and red filled in. Because at first, when he first drops the beeper, it is just the logo, just the star.
The eight-pointed star.
Yeah, and then it fills in with the red and the blue. And I was like, okay, yep.
You know how many conversations probably went on behind the scenes about what that logo should look like and whether or not they should have the blue and red?
I've heard that this is a huge controversy.
I've heard nothing.
I know nothing about it, but.
No, I'm just wondering, listen, from a stupid marketing standpoint that we absolutely don't have to get into, but like, you know, they're like, well, let's have the star because it's an old 90s beeper and they wouldn't have had color, but then they're like, well, but is the audience going to know what that is if enough of blah, 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 put the red and blue in?
I get what you're saying. I've just heard that there's been some controversy over the true colors of Captain Marvel's costume, and which they are going to use in the movie.
Yeah. Well, the old Marvel costume was green and silver, I think, and then the more modern one has been red and blue for a long time, so who knows?
So let's do a quick, like, top to bottom of the movie. Mm-hmm. Opening scene, brutal.
Yes.
Thanos is aboard the ship and just smokes Loki. Just no more Lokes. Right.
Not to mention that the first thing you see is a bunch of Asgardian corpses just lining the floor. It's like, holy shit.
Well, and I guess actually the first one he offs is Heimdall.
And I didn't watch closely enough either time because I kind of forgot about it. Did he beat up the Hulk that bad without using the purple gem or stone?
Power stone. I don't believe he ever actually activated the power.
I don't think he did either.
Yeah,
I think it. I mean, I feel like you're meant to assume that with the power stone, he is maybe a little stronger than he usually is.
That would make sense.
Maybe. I mean, that's an assumption. That's the assumption I was operating under.
Yeah.
So Ray of Sunshine, the Hulk and Thanos square off right in the first scene, which I was excited about, but as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. Because if you have the Hulk fighting the main enemy in the first scene, it's going to be a rough time for the heroes. It's going to be a rough...
You didn't, You didn't think that was going to be the end? They beat Thanos right there.
Yeah, right there, and then it's just
2.5 hours of credits.
2.5 hours of them soap operating around Malibu. It's really just a super-powered Sex in the City 4.
Yeah. It was about the team meeting each other at a nice resort, not because of the threat to everyone.
Avengers 4, Mamma Mia. Oh,
no. The biggest crossover event in cinematic history.
Bruce Banner, you just got to get your groove back.
Hey, there is something to that as the movie goes on, by the way.
Absolutely.
Running theme.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, you're right. I thought I could tell by that scene, though, like, oh, this movie really is not going to let up. Like, this movie is just going to keep happening at a.
Yeah.
Just nonstop for the next 2.5 hours.
Then you go, again, we don't have to go into every scene of the movie, but like you go right back to Earth and Tony Stark is talking to Doctor Strange in at the Strange lab or whatever. And then outside, oh, there's the Children of Thanos, which I thought they were great.
I did too. They made them so hateable.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You just like, oh yeah, without having to go into it. Yeah. Like I just root against those guys.
Yeah. I don't know their names. The children's names. I should probably look that up.
Oh shoot, I just looked it up too. The guy who talks the whole time is Ebony Maw.
Maw, yeah.
Maw. Because he's the only one who Thanos even says a name of in that entire movie. The Horned Lady is Proxima Midnight. The elf guy was Corvus Glaive, and the huge guy is Black Dwarf. I see why they didn't say their names for the most part.
Yeah.
This is Proxima Midnight. Like, her name is two English words together? Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, welcome to that age in comic books. Like,
Well,
speaking of which, sorry, other spoiler, in the, in the Deadpool 2 trailer... we talked a little bit about, we've joked about other characters, and one of the characters I thought about bringing into Infinity War as a joke was Shatterstar, because he's such a terrible comic book character, and then he makes an appearance in the Deadpool 2 trailer, which is...
That trailer, they played that before the movie, that was the funniest way to end that when they're doing the superhero interviews and they have all the people. And they're like, hi, I'm Pete. Like, oh, what's your superpower? Oh, I don't have one. I'm just answering the ad. You're on the team. And then they cut to him doing that para jump with all the rest of them. That was
It was so good.
Stupid and so funny.
Oh, man. That was worth the price of admission. great job on the Children of Thanos. Ebony Maw, God, I could not wait. I couldn't wait for him to get his. I really enjoyed the way it happened. It was.
Did it happen earlier than you thought for that type of villain?
Yes, but it informed. It informed the pace of the movie. Like, every step that felt a little too soon also felt kind of like the director, like, being like, oh, it's going to be okay, but we're going fast, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because then, I don't know how they would have beat him in a straight-up fight, because he's, I don't know, telekinesis, I guess, is what he was doing, but he was pretty.
No, they made him incredibly powerful. The fact that, like, Strange was having a hard time using time against him, shows that, like, yeah, maybe don't fuck around with this guy. I love the way that he got his, and it made sense to me, like, that it couldn't be a knockdown drag out with him. I really think that all of them got an ending that I was really pretty pleased with, like Proxima Midnight getting thrown up into her own, like, death machines.
Yep. Corvus Glaive getting stabbed by Vision the same way he stabbed Vision at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yep. I can't remember
how. Yep. used his own sword.
Glaive, yeah.
Whatever, a glaive against him.
That's not really. It was glaive.
It was kind of a glaive.
What about? Yeah. How did he?
And the big guy.
Oh yeah, that was awesome though, dome. And that was great because okay. So what are the things? What are the themes that they play with? And God, I love it. Is that after the fight with Thanos, Hulk is scared. Not Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner's trying to summon Hulk, and Hulk will not come out. And Banner, who is always like, you know, they play with it in Thor Ragnarok, and they play with it in the other movies, you know, suit up. They kind of tease Banner for not being very useful until he's this, you know, rage crazy strength monster. And this time he earned it. Like, yeah, he was using Stark's suit, but Banner's not a fighter. Like, Stark is a fighter. And all these other guys are fed. Yeah. Banner is a scientist. And he finally decided that he'd had enough and he was going to fight. And he found a way to beat someone that was kicking other people's asses, other superheroes' asses.
Yep. He got his moment to do something.
Yeah. He got his moment as Banner, which is like the really important part.
I hope there was a story. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was a story where Hulk was disobeying Banner and like wouldn't come out in the comic books. And mm-hmm. it gave way to the Gray Hulk at one point. I don't remember what, like the renewed Gray Hulk.
Yeah.
And I'd put dollars to donuts, Ben, that they'll have the Gray Hulk in the.
Oh, really?
Sometime in the near future. Yeah.
All right.
Could be wrong.
That would be interesting, though.
Bold prediction. If I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. But if I'm right, I'm a genius.
Yeah, I mean, hey, make that bet every day.
What'd you guys think about, of course, the big man, Thanos, the way he came
across
in the movie?
I loved Thanos. I loved how, was it Josh Brolin?
Yes, sir.
Josh Brolin did an incredible job bringing a lot of depth to an otherwise, they always market him as the tyrant. So you're expecting like, oh, okay, he's big, mean dude who's just going to kill things because he loves killing. Not so in this movie.
No, Brolin really made one of the comic book villains that I thought was going to be just one of those that was going to be almost impossible to do well, right? Like Apocalypse, Darkseid, Doomsday, Mr. Sinister, all these characters are so big and out there. Like, how do you translate them to look real, to feel
Galactus in that terrible film?
Yeah, Galactus. Ugh. But like, how do you make them viscerally real? And Brolin did that. And of course, the writing, the directing was a huge part of that too. But man, his performance, like, it almost made it hard for me. Like, there were times I rooted for Thanos. Like, I hate to say it, but there were times like...
Wait, which
times? Like, usually, like, just when he did something cool in a fight. But but even still, like, to have, like, for me to be like, oh, yeah, when like, Thanos gets the upper hand on... or, like, Thanos and Stark's fight. Great fight. Like, it shows Stark really kind of giving his everything and being ingenuitive, and, you know, standing up against the most powerful being in the universe right now, even though he's just a man wearing a suit that he designed.
And Thanos used his bare hand to punch Iron Man like 14 times in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was really impressed with, because you always kind of wonder when it's a fully computer character how that's going to come across, but I don't know how they did it. They did such a good job of like all his little facial tics and all of his everything you could read, his eyes and stuff like that,
the scars on his skin. I mean, at one point I think it was the scene, I guess we may as well talk about it right now, his sacrifice scene with Gamora. Thanos, in his attempt to get the spirit stone, is that what they called it? Or do they call it the soul stone?
Soul stone.
Has to go to a planet whose name I can't remember. And guess who they find there? None other but my one of my favorite moments in the movie, Red Skull.
Yeah.
That was so, like, everyone in the theater I was in, myself included, like, was like, oh, like,
everyone
never would have expected
everyone
that
forgot that Red Skull just teleported somewhere because of the Tesseract. Everyone forgot about that. And then here he is. Oh my God.
And that one was what, that came out in like 2010. I mean, that was the fourth or fifth Marvel movie, and we're on 19 now. So that was a really cool little, I guess Easter egg, technically.
Easter egg.
I mean, almost, unless it ends up mattering.
Yeah, and I wonder, I don't know, because they did the same thing when in Captain America First Avenger, he disappeared, and it's like, well, they did it in a way that he can either be dead or not dead, and in this movie, it's the same. He could either be a factor or not a factor, because Thanos gets the Soul Stone and then is on the lake below the mountain all
of a sudden. Well, think about this, though. Because I guess let's just talk about the end just real briefly, because what I'm about to say pertains to that. So Thanos wins.
He does.
Thanos fights hard and uses cunning and strategy, and he wins. He gets all the Infinity Stones. He snaps his fingers, and half of the universe is no more.
He got a little lucky too. He used a little bit of luck there at the end.
A little bit with Thor.
Right.
We got to talk about. Well, I'm going to ask you guys your favorite moments here. Yeah, in a few minutes.
We'll talk about that in a second. Going. But think about this. So, he won, which is insane. But clearly, they can't keep that and go forward with the franchise with just half their heroes. So somehow that is going to be reversed. Now, to what degree, that's the big question. But depending on how it's worded and how they do it with Resurrections, I could foresee it being something like, you know, use the Infinity Gauntlet to return the lives of all those who were destroyed by the power of the Infinity Stones. And now, all the people from Infinity War are back, but now so is Red Skull.
Yeah, well, that could be.
So maybe the bad guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
Ronan, yeah.
Well, I mean,
they kind of tip – you obviously, with an ending like that, no matter who, when it's that many people that they kill off, technically. I'm not sure if dead is the right word because I have a theory about that. But – when they only killed off all of their new people to the Marvel Universe, I think they kind of tipped their hand a little too much on that one. Like, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange. I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, no way. There's no way all those. Now we're just doing a bunch of more Cap movies, everybody. Come on in.
Yeah. Fair point. And also, you know, they very pointedly left. Oh, now I've forgotten her name. T'Challa's general,
Okoye.
Okoye. They pointedly left her around, and I can't imagine they're going to release any Okoye based movies. So you got to think that T'Challa will be coming back.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think it's going to cost one life for sure. It might cost more because even after Thanos used the gauntlet, which this isn't something that ever happened on comic books, so they're going a different direction already. When he snapped his finger, the gauntlet was ruined and his arm was all messed up. So it cost something for him to do that. And I know he said everything in like the metaphorical sense that it cost him everything to do it, but I think physically, he was limping at the end too. I think it cost him physically a lot to do what he did at the end.
Well, we could also say that he was limping because he took an Asgardian god's axe to his chest.
He did. But he didn't have the chest wound in that final shot.
That's true.
I don't think is something they probably would have overlooked, but you never know.
Can I ask you guys what you thought of Peter Dinklage as the dwarf?
That was amazing. I loved that scene. Oh my god. What?
It's a, Aaron and I will feel exactly how you think we feel about this. That's my guess.
Yeah, but I want to hear it from your mouths.
Well, you heard it from mine. Now let's hear it from this crabby old... Go on.
I didn't mind it. His British accent thing is so terrible. It's bad in Game of Thrones, and it was bad here. I wish they would have just let him do... just talk like he normally does, because his accent is so terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that.
We have to restart the forge. You've got to restart the forge. You said you would protect us.
Like, what is happening right now?
Thor, you... Thor is the full might of a neutron star is.
Now yours is too good.
We're going into Dick Van Dyke Cockney territory with this now.
Of course, I was
the best. Forge an axe.
Wow, I did think it was cool that Peter Dinklage. Yeah, I'm just a little. Don't make him do an accent. Didn't make any sense. Yeah.
I liked him as the dwarf. I thought it was a cool choice of casting and choice of taking that character.
You think they approached him like, hey, you're going to play a dwarf? He's like, yeah, okay. But you're a giant dwarf. You're a 12-foot-tall dwarf in this movie.
I hope that's how they approached him.
Should we talk about our favorite scenes? Or do you got this?
Just favorite moment. Favorite moment.
Oh, go ahead. No, if you have something else, go ahead.
No, just real quick. Like, what do you guys think aesthetically about Thor's new weapon, Stormbreaker, the axe?
It looks better than in the comic books, so...
Well, I don't know how it looks in the comic books, so I guess I have no input comparatively.
It kind of looks like the Megaton hammer from Ocarina of Time a little bit.
I could see that.
But gold. You didn't like it, Ben?
It looks too big. Like, it doesn't...
It's big.
Yeah, it looks... I don't know. It looks... It's like half his body height. And he's like,
that's how you know it's powerful.
I guess. I loved how it got its handle. I thought it was cool.
Sure.
That, we got to see, by the way, one of my favorite characters, like moody, disaffected teenage Groot.
That was so great. That was fantastic. Playing the video game the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am Groot. Whoa. Which is the.
That was one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Everybody in the ship is like, what? Like having a teenager, I imagine.
Oh, my God. Oh, and Drax was so good in this movie.
He was
a little too naive, I think. I think they really overplayed his naivete, but it worked. I can't fault him too much for it.
That scene where Gamora and Star-Lord have that, like, you might have to kill me, promise, blah, 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 all that. And then Drax is there, like, how long have you been standing there? An hour. I haven't laughed like that in a movie in a while. It was so funny.
I'm just thinking about what he's... he's like, I'm almost positive I'm invisible right now.
Yeah. I've mastered the art of moving.
Hi, Drax! Damn. I'm glad because they did. They brought James Gunn in to help write some of the dialogue for the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm glad they did that.
Absolutely.
Because that's a real weird sense of humor to try to pull off if you aren't the one, who created it. You know,
sure. I mean, absolutely. If the characters are kind of ingrained with this one sense of humor, it's hard for another writer to write that sense of humor for those characters.
Yes.
Yep. And you wonder, I don't think the Russo brothers, because just the way that Marvel is kind of structured, I'm guessing that Chris Pratt and I would say probably across the board, the actors pretty much have license to be like, I really don't think the character would do or say that in a lot of situations. And I think they kind of listen that way, but it's got to help to have the director of the other two Guardians movies
for sure.
And kind of,
you know, especially when you work with Chris Pratt, he's a very fluid, very, very good improviser. But man, is it like refreshing to see, is it Baptiste or, I'm going to mess up who plays Drax?
Batista.
God, he does a great job.
He's pretty perfect for that role.
Yes, he is. Oh my God,
he really is.
Mm-hmm. He's so that sincerity he brings to it is just like perfect. Okay, shall we talk about our favorite moments?
We kind of are already, but
that's true.
In a way, yeah. I don't know if I can pick. I have one in mind, just because it was soul crushing for me. And I guess I'll just get right into it.
Don't say it yet.
Okay.
It would have to be when the heroes are being disintegrated or what have you, and Peter Parker runs up to Iron Man. Says, "I don't feel so good. I don't want to go." And he's got that kind of panicked, kind of teary. I did not do well in the theater.
Did you hear he improvised that line? Like, that's not in the script.
Yeah. Crazy.
That one did. Because he's like, the rest of them, like, it still sucks, but they kind of know the score.
Sure.
They've all been doing stuff up to this point.
They were all kind of prepared. They were prepared to put their lives on the line, whereas Peter Parker kind of stepped into it.
And he, like, I love that he even said, you know, can't have your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man without a neighborhood. You know, like, yeah, this is his fight too, even though he hasn't dealt with the same dangers that the others have. God.
Right.
Oh, they've all pretty much almost died. He's the only one who kind of had, but not. I mean, we've all been 15 or 16. You don't think anything bad's going to happen to you until it does. And then,
he did a great job of communicating that. Yeah, and that improvised, I don't want to go. Oh, my God.
Oof.
Wow.
I'll go more upbeat than that. Even that was an incredible moment. But I had like watching your favorite football team score a touchdown internal feeling when Thor showed up at the Battle of Wakanda with Stormbreaker. Ooh. Just started that wrecking stuff. Awesome. You're like, yes, finally, you know, as a movie watcher, you're like, oh, the bad guys are really going to get their comeuppance really fast.
Also refreshing because it's like, it's been a while since we got to see Thor be a god on the battlefield. Like, we saw a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the all-father.
We saw it in his first movie.
That's a good point.
When he's fighting the ice giants, and that was badass. But it's been a while since we got to see him just like wreck like groups of people and really flex his god muscles.
Yeah. Well, because he's kind of been a broken character. Like, even in Ragnarok, which is like a lighthearted, super funny comedy, he was a broken character basically from start to finish. I mean, once he gets back to Asgard, he realizes his father's missing, and then his father dies, and then it's it just goes downhill from there. But I think maybe that was part of it. His character got to come back in such a spectacular way. Yeah,
he's
and visually just looked.
He's
so
got a
awesome,
great redemption story brewing that I think will pay off, because I think we got a taste of it, and I only hope that whatever they follow this up with, we can really see Thor kind of. I don't want to say like take the lead as in become the leader of the Avengers or anything, but take the lead as in like. Especially now that Hulk is apparently out of commission, I am the most powerful hero we've got.
I think even if Hulk was in commission after that, I mean, he threw his axe through the Infinity Gauntlet's full power.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
It just went right through it.
Yeah. And, I mean, to the point where even Thanos admitted if he had changed his aim, he could have killed him.
Yep.
That's true. Yeah. One thing I want to say on a design point, I kind of wish they would have stuck with the eye patch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. You guys, it feels like they'll do a thing in a Marvel movie, and then if the next movie has that character and doesn't want that to be a thing, they'll be like, oh, here's a robot eye. Thanks, bye. See you later. It's robot eye. You got two eyes now. I can think of zero other examples, but I do think that might be true.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. It feels like some of their more like negative consequences don't really have weight because they just don't stick around.
Yeah.
And you're right. That is the only instance that I can think of off the top of my head, but I also wasn't really studying up on that topic, so.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, I'm trying to think, but whatever. I'll think of one other one as soon as we end this, and I'll text it to you and our whole audience.
You hear that, audience? Text messages rates may apply.
You got a favorite moment, Ben? Did you do your favorite moment, Ben? Or moments? Your favorite moment was when it was over, so you didn't have to watch it anymore. It's really
God, that is it's honestly a really tough call. I think one of my favorite moments was, God, fairly early on. I can't remember. Oh, it's when Banner is trying to Hulk out while is it Black Dwarf?
Or? The big dude, yeah. The big dude is Black Dwarf for some reason.
Yeah. While he's like stomping down the street at them, swinging his big crazy techno axe, and Hulk is trying to, or Banner's trying to Hulk out. Hulk won't come out. And Black Dwarf raises the axe and brings it swinging down, and it stops. And then just out from this behind it, there's Spider-Man being snarky. And I loved it because even in that moment, as an audience member, I was like, oh shit, Spider-Man is stronger than I remember him being.
He's super strong.
Yeah.
They did that in Civil War when, because like Bucky has punched Cap a few times and Cap can take it, but it still hurts. But in Civil War, he tries to punch Spider-Man and Spider-Man grabs his arm and twists it like it's nothing. Like you're doing it to a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. It surprises me every time, and I feel like that means it's really effective.
Yeah.
So that was a really just like hell yeah moment that I liked a lot. Man, I love.
Did you catch the Tobias Funke cameo?
I did. I barely caught it. I had to hear someone else say something, and then I caught it. That was fantastic. Also,
I didn't. I heard about it after the first time I saw it, so I watched, and then the second time, it's really good because it's hard to see, but once you see it back there, it's just stupid. I love it too. And I love it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want them to shy away from stuff like that. Like, obviously, it would be easy to go hard, like over the top with that sort of thing. But if you keep it subtle like that, you will never hear me complain.
And again, it's such a little thing that you really have to be looking for it. There's people that I know that notice that stuff all the time, and it amazes me. I don't know how they do it, but if no one told most people, they would never see that back
for sure.
Even if they knew Arrested Development and were really familiar with it, but
yeah. Yeah.
And when you're in the collector's cave, you pretty much put anything
exactly
somewhere in that room, you know.
And that is like that's your go-to spot to drop Easter eggs.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to go through, and I know people have, but just the first two Guardians movies Thor 2 and Guardians when they're in the collector's room. Everything that's in there.
Yeah, I'm sure that list exists out there.
What do you guys think Doctor Strange saw in his futures? He gave up that time stone pretty easily.
That's what I was thinking.
He did.
It's like he wouldn't have done that if that wasn't in line with the course of events that he saw benefiting them.
I had to think he saw that future where they succeeded and Tony Stark was alive in that future.
That's a good point.
Cause that he's like, hey, if you spare him, I'll give you this thing. Even though he'd said earlier, no, I'm not giving the stone up for anything.
That's a fair point. It's a fair point. And actually, now that you kind of lay it out like that, it feels a little on the head. But
yeah, and that was the benefit of the second viewing is you can kind of like pick that stuff up because those two things happen probably an hour and a half apart in movie time. I mean,
almost as far apart as you can get in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think he saw? What do you think Strange saw? What was that future like?
I think Strange saw Stark getting the Infinity Gauntlet.
I wonder about that. I've kind of thought it's a logical exit for Robert Downey Jr. anyway, and so for him to use it will cost him his life, but he'll do it because that's what's really interesting about. And they did Iron Man came out 10 years ago today, as of us recording this, not when this is actually online, but how
we're recording this May 2nd, 2018.
We're recording this live. Whenever you hear it, it's live.
It is. It's today.
It is July 9th, 2026, right now. But yeah, Tony Stark's how he was selfish, you know, billionaire playboy, and now he, I mean, he jumps into spaceships to save the Earth because that's, he's like, mm-hmm. that's what I got to do. It's my job now. Somebody has to do it.
He cares more about a kid named Peter Parker than he cares about himself.
Yeah.
A kid he met, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago in this timeline?
Yeah. Tony Stark's story arc has been excellent. And I think it really...
It's been the arc that carries them all, I think.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I think, like, as much as a lot of people would want to argue that it's Cap, I think Cap carries the plot, but Stark carries the heart, ironically enough.
Yeah, I've always felt Cap to me is the character that we all kind of think we are, but Iron Man is maybe a little closer to the character that we might actually be. Because Cap, I always do the right thing.
Yeah.
Not quite like in the Superman sort of way where he can't be stopped, but I would never let anybody die, no matter the situation. But like, well, that might not be up to you.
Yeah, kinda, we don't trade lives.
Right. And that cost him in the end. But
yeah,
if they blow up the Infinity or the Mind Stone halfway through, then Doctor Strange has nothing to worry about. But
yeah. Or if Doctor Strange just destroys the Mind Stone at the beginning when Stark tells him to.
That was one thing that maybe he didn't have the ability to, because even destroying the Mind Stone was like an ordeal, and it was because a person who was powered by the Mind Stone. I mean, Scarlet Witch is basically an Infinity Stone.
Is she? I don't understand. Explain. Yeah, explain.
So, and that's what they did. Yeah, we're going all the way back. Avengers 2, they used the Mind Stone to give Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch their powers.
Oh.
So she got her powers from an Infinity Stone.
I do not remember that.
Vision was so weak in this movie. Sorry to shift radically.
Oh, no.
Even stabbed. Vision's a robot, and I get it. He's an android, and he has feelings, and blah, blah. He couldn't do anything in that movie except die slowly over the course of 2 hours and 40 minutes.
But hey, something about that staff prevented his body from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he couldn't phase, which is like, okay, but can you still... And I know he shot the guy and the guy blocked it, but like, you could try shooting him in a different spot. You could shoot other people, Vision. It's up to you. Yeah. I mean, it's not, you don't have to shoot the guy right in his glaive.
Yeah, it was a pretty radical change, because in Age of Ultron, he was played up to be like one of the strongest beings, period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he's just kind of lame duck in this one.
And I cannot think of two characters I give less of a shit about than Scarlet Witch and Vision.
It's because they're so new. They haven't... It's tough. I mean, for the newer characters, we care about Spider-Man because culturally Spider-Man's huge, but on top of that, Tom Holland just plays the kid
really well. He really does.
But then everybody else have been around for a long time. I mean, the Guardians are sort of new in that aspect, I suppose, but maybe we didn't, I don't know, maybe they're all very charismatic.
I don't know. It's just like, again, like Age of Ultron, like, you know, I know this has nothing to do with his actual strength, but Vision picked up Mjolnir, right? Like, Vision's supposed to be a paragon. Like, I would put Vision, in my head, I would put Vision right alongside Thor before Stormbreaker. In like strength and power, right?
Yeah, that's probably about right.
And maybe even like a regular angry Hulk, not like when he gets super angry and he's like crazy monster powerful. But yeah. I mean, go ahead.
That's the reason Cap couldn't pick up the hammer because he just wasn't powerful enough. I guess he had the morality, whatever, that Thor is supposed to be in the leadership and stuff, but in the Marvel movie science, they're like, well, he's just not powerful enough to wield it, so he can't pick it up. Vision picked it up, like you said. No problem. And now he's just kind of shambling around, and I get it. I've never been stabbed through the chest before, but I also don't have a Mind Stone. I'm not made of robot parts.
These are all fair points.
Vibranium robot parts. Let's not forget that. Vision's made out of vibranium.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so Vision should be like, this is much more troublesome. Because one of the things that I just wanted to briefly touch on, I loved seeing Black Panther in that big battle. I wish we would have had a little more one-on-one T'Challa time, but I get why he wasn't the most crucial aspect of this movie.
It was just tough for them. I know, because like a lot of people are like, how come Black Panther wasn't a bigger role? His movie just made a bunch of money. Like, well, his movie's 2 months old,
yeah.
A. So there's no way. Like, if the movie flopped 2 months ago, they're not going to rewrite it, you know, right. One way or the other. And B, what do you do with all the people on Earth? Nothing was really happening there.
Yeah, no. I mean, I get it. But it's just, I'm real hyped on Black Panther right now. And seeing him in that battle was really cool because I love the way that you would just see like bam, 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 big purple flash. Bam, 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 big purple flash.
That was cool how they worked that in. I'm glad the directors all seem to work together when they're making these movies.
And it serves them all to do so. It makes them all look good.
Yep. It makes it look like a coherent story.
This is all true.
Talking to you, WB. Mm-hmm. And the DC.
Right. Good Lord. Although, speaking of tie-ins and franchises, can you imagine what the Marvel Dynasty Warriors game would be like?
Sorry, I thought I had a heart attack with just how excited I felt for a second. I would...
You know that scene in Doctor Strange where his spirit leaves his body? I think that happened.
Yeah. There goes my social life.
That's exactly what I was thinking watching this. That fight is like, yeah, that's my like XXXXX triangle move is just wham, 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 bam.
And Thor throwing the Stormbreaker through three alien ships is when you have all five power bars filled up.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was going to make that analogy when we were talking about Thor earlier, and here we are. So kudos.
Yeah,
we did it.
My God.
So a quick shout out to our Twitter follower here at Num1HugNinja.
Num1HugNinja?
You didn't have to say it like that. One of our many Twitter followers.
One of our many Twitter followers.
One of the Sotskers.
One of the Sotskers. Here, that's tag it. Let's coin it now.
I'm trying
that's our,
out.
That's our trademark,
trying out
guys.
For our followers.
We asked.
We'll do a new one every week.
We asked Twitter, what would you do with the power of a fully assembled Infinity Gauntlet? And one of our many Twitter followers.
My personal favorite, Sotsker.
So many.
Hundreds of thousands of the masses.
Yes. We had to.
Num1 Hug Ninja.
Probably the best one. Rose up. Their voice carried over all the others.
We really had to scour through the masses. And she came up with make my student loans disappear, which many would say need the power of an Infinity Gauntlet.
I was going to say, I don't know. I don't know if you've even got enough.
Is the Infinity Gauntlet powerful enough for that?
You might need the genie lamp.
It'd burn out the gauntlet and your arm would be messed up just like Thanos.
And guess what? Now you're all locked up with hospital debt. So
you'd still owe the interest somehow.
Yeah. Can't get away from it. But thank you, Num1 Hug Ninja. Here's hoping that you get that taken care of and reduced down. Cheers.
Is she the Num1 Hug Ninja? And also, what does that mean? Do you just like feel a hug, and by the time you turn around, she's gone?
Woo!
Who just hugged me?
There's just a log laying there.
Wait a minute.
Logs can't hug.
I don't know how I'm gonna get through this week. Nah, I feel great. I'm gonna make it. Wait, what? Boom.
That's the sound of this. Thank you at Num1 Hug Ninja, because you're the real hero.
You did it.
You are.
Because you gave us an answer that we could actually talk about.
You're what keeps us going. It's what we
all the other for. All the other responses were terrible. All 700 responses.
Yeah,
just awful.
Luckily, those are all people who are mostly Russian trolls, not real dedicated Sotskers.
Not real
like you.
I do have to tell you, when we started recording this podcast, the cat was facing me and sleeping. And slowly over this last hour, he has turned around. Now he's facing the other. He's wide awake, but he's looking away from me just at the back of the couch. which is apparently more interesting than having to look at me talk about this movie.
I understand. My roommate is currently searching for new apartments, so.
Well, yeah. It happens. Yeah.
Where were we?
Well, we had talked about the big battle. We had talked a little bit about Thor coming in, saving the day, being the big, powerful badass that he is. I know someone else I want to talk about in this movie, and I think he's already getting a lot of credit, but that doesn't mean we can't give him a little more. Rocket Raccoon is really becoming one of the better characters in the MCU.
This is true. He's going through a lot of development. So he's not just this crass little rodent who's stealing limbs and like they still reference that plenty throughout the movie. But alone with his interactions with Thor and kind of being surprised with Thor knowing how to speak Groot. You know, that was a cool little sequence, and it makes a lot of sense that the Guardians of the Galaxy are so intertwined with Thor now.
Absolutely. So. And I think I like that interaction because I think it's teaching Rocket that it's like almost that it's okay to be a hero. Because I think Rocket has been so self-focused for all his life. Although his journey starting with like, ain't nothing like me but me to, you know, to where he is now, where he's
like a leader.
Yeah. He's becoming a leader
in a way.
Is huge. And it's been done very subtly. For the most part there were times it was a little heavy handed in Guardians 2, but not in a bad way.
Guardians 2 was kind of tough. It was just, well, we got to copy the formula, but they have to grow, but they can't grow too much because it's not interesting if they're all getting along the whole time and working really well together.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of the point where we jumped in on Infinity War. I think they're probably to that point now because it's been, three or 4 years or whatever in their universe.
Yeah. Yes, yes. This is all true.
You guys think all the deaths were real in the whole movie? Which ones do you think are going to last and which ones are definitely not going to last?
I would say definitely not going to last would be Spider-Man, because obviously they have a couple more movies planned with him.
Sure.
Yeah, they do have those out there. They kind of – I bet they wish they could roll back those sequel announcements a year or so ago.
So definitely Spider-Man. I would imagine Black Panther's coming back.
Oh, yeah. There's too much money there.
Most of Guardians of the Galaxy will come back, I'm sure. Not too sure about Gamora. Not gonna lie.
Well, here's what I'm questioning. Like, because Zoe Saldana, Gamora, she died before half the universe was erased. Because I'm thinking, like, of course, my nerdy ass.
She was the fourth stone.
Yeah, my nerdy ass is equating this to like, Dragon Ball wishes. So I'm all you have to do is get the gauntlet and then you wish that all the deaths that Thanos ever caused were undone.
That's a lot of deaths if they do it that way.
Right? Like then who are you resurrecting? Do you even know?
Thanos has killed some bad guys. I mean, if he's killing half of everything, he's killed some murderers in there.
Oh yeah.
Well, definitely. For sure, but you know, you can't say, you know, bring just the good people back to life. But that's like that's for our morality broadcast. That's not for this.
Yes, that's a different episode. Today we talk about morality.
Yeah, that's
thoughts. Why that's you're thoughts. Doing it wrong?
Sots thoughts. That's that one.
Yeah, that's just what we need to put out there into the universe.
Hello and welcome to Sots Thoughts.
Here's our thoughts on philosophy. Anyway, Thanos was right the whole time.
Well, let's talk about that, though, because there is this argument I've seen out there that Thanos could have got the Infinity Gauntlet and just wished for twice as many resources instead of...
Yeah, and the Unabomber could have blown up computers instead of people. I mean, they're crazy people. Timothy McVeigh could have blown up, you know, missiles and tanks, but instead he blew up... I get it, but that's the problem with everybody's thinking in a logical way or a moral way, and... I don't know what people thought about Thanos that made them think, like, oh, well, if he just made two fish for every one fish.
Yeah.
It's not his line of thinking. He's a madman. He's called the Mad Titan.
Yeah.
Not some guy who has weird ideas.
I mean, and there's also something to be said with, like, where do you draw the line at what is a resource? Because, like, twice as many fish means you need twice as much food for the fish. And you need twice as much food for the food. And that food doesn't get energy from...
And you need twice as much water for them to live in. Could drown the planet when you need twice as much planet.
And then gravity is different. Yeah, I mean...
You're right.
You need twice... Yeah.
Get down a weird rabbit hole.
You need twice as much nitrogen. That is one thing that I'll say. I really like Brolin. I liked Thanos. I wish that the tragedy that befell his world would have been a little more personal to him. It feels like maybe... Like, sure, it feels like he's had a lot of time to, like, cope and adjust to the fact that, like, no one listened to him and exactly what he thought was going to happen happened. And, oh, man, if they'd only listened... But that felt a little too clinical for me. It felt more like I just wish we would have heard a little more hurt in his voice when he thought about what was lost when his home planet was lost.
Yeah. And this, I mean, it's probably a little bit of a cop out, even if it does happen. But do you think that's something they could keep for the next movie? Because they had to fit a lot of stuff into this one.
They could, but honestly, this movie, Thanos was the protagonist.
Yeah. No, this was Thanos' story.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The next one won't be that way. It can't be. Thanos is going to be the villain in the next one. I mean, he's the villain in this one, but he's the protagonist. He's going to be the antagonist in the next one. And I don't know if – I mean, maybe they could squeeze it in there, but it feels like they kind of missed their best shot for it.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right, especially for him really getting into the – and it's a tough balancing act because then do you want Thanos to be a sad sack because he already has the whole scene with him and Gamora that he has to deal with. And one thing I really noticed on the rewatch was he's not out to kill all the heroes as he's fighting them. He really only – He kills Loki after Loki tries to stab him in the neck with a knife.
True.
He stabs Tony Stark with that sword that Tony Stark made to try to stab him.
Correct.
Thanos seems to be going – that final battle when he's going towards Vision and all the heroes are attacking him, he's just basically knocking him to the side. So he seemed to be going out of his way to not be the one who decides who dies other than that it has to be half, you know. And there's even some line about – picked at random, so rich and poor alike, whatever.
Yeah. But, truly equitable.
Yeah. He's a nice guy, deep down, right?
Well, and that's, I mean...
He kills,
but he's...
A bit like Two-Face, maybe. That's why it struck a chord, because he seems a lot like Two-Face from Dark Knight.
Maybe. I think you have a hard time arguing with Thanos' logic.
No, it does. I mean, it goes back to what Black Panther did really well. And it's an intention versus action.
Yeah.
Black Panther was right because he wanted to protect his country. Killmonger was right because he wanted to protect his people. Thanos is right because he wants to protect all people.
Yeah.
How they view those things and what that means, completely wrong. Especially what it means to get to that goal is completely off. In Black Panther's case, it's ignore all of the outside world regardless of what's happening to people. In Killmonger's mind, it's arm everybody who I think is part of my nation, take over, and then the exact same thing happens just in reverse. And in Thanos' mind, you kill half of everyone.
You kill half to guarantee that that half survives. Or the other half.
Right.
Yeah.
You're still killing half. I mean, it's still genocide, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, let's we got at least a little more.
We got more? How we
do? Because I wanted to talk about this, and we'd already touched on it a little bit. Captain Marvel. Is that a big enough hit to be like the ray of hope you need in the stinger of such a bleak movie?
Personally, for me, no.
Okay.
I get it. Because if you pay attention to the comic book universe, which it is a large portion of the fan base, myself included, I knew what that was right away. And I was like, that's kind of cool. But I think you might have gotten a better payoff if – Samuel L. Jackson calls his phone, disappears, and the phone hits the ground, and it says Scott Lang dialing. Like, because then it's Ant-Man, and people are like, oh, he's calling
somebody
that we know. I mean, I know it's a little bit weak because what's Ant-Man going to do? But for the broader audience, I just think that would have been a little more. Oh, for example, our friend Carly, she saw Infinity War. It's basically the first Marvel movie she's ever seen. She's seen a couple here and there, but she was like,
"Sure,
what did that mean at the end?" So I do think it was the Easteriest of Easter eggs. Probably it was for a particular audience. Again, a large audience, but. It was kind of just lost on a lot of people, I thought.
Anyway. Sure. I am going to respectfully disagree with you on one point, but overall, I will agree with you.
No!
I guess Doug vetoed it. Aaron, your turn.
No, go ahead. I pass it back to you. The people.
The people. So I think in that spoiler, I think you have to introduce a new character.
Yeah,
or you have to, because that's the only bomb, that's the only ray of hope big enough. Because especially, just like you said, we don't know anyone in this universe who isn't in this movie, but would be powerful enough to make an impact. The Ant-Man could have been useful, maybe. I mean, you could make the argument that his shrinking and growing powers might have been really useful in sneaking up on Thanos or, you know, getting the Infinity Gauntlet off of him. Actually, think about this. First time you see Thanos, you just hit his gauntlet with some Pym particles until it's so large that he's not wearing it.
Or it's so small that it crushes his hand.
Yeah, but then he's still kind of wearing it. And if he's got the reality gem, like, he could just, like, bwomp.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
If you make it so big that no one could possibly wear it except, like, Galactus, and then you just keep making it bigger.
Or giant Peter Dinkledorf.
Peter Dinkledorf.
Were his hands dipped in molten stuff, or were they frozen? I still couldn't tell.
I think they were
time.
Dipped in molten stuff.
Okay. Well, that's too bad for him.
Yeah. But luckily, they didn't need his hands, so saith Thor.
That's true. It's up here. I'm pointing to my head.
So, I mean, honestly, and if you heard episode one, you're going to understand why I say this. I wanted to. There was a brief second where I thought that may have been the Blue Marvels symbol, and I was like, "Oh my god!" I called it out of nowhere. I called the Blue Marvel, but
what is
no,
the Blue Marvel symbol.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember.
It's an M. Why not?
Yeah, it is a big M.
I kind of wondered if they wouldn't bring Nova in, especially since Xandar and the Nova Corps were destroyed off camera at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the eight-pointed star of Captain Marvel and Nova are very similar. So
they are.
Half a second, yeah. Wait, Captain Marvel's coming out. And then it turned red and blue, and
yeah.
Then you kind of knew what was happening. But
yeah, I would have been okay with Nova. Granted, I don't know, like Ben, I don't know a whole lot about Captain Marvel, so maybe she'll be fine. I don't know.
Well, the nice thing is she's been around so long and there's so many storylines that they can really kind of winnow it, just like they've done with all of them. That's the thing that they've done a really good job with, is kind of pushing out the stupid real comic booky stuff and bringing it into, I hate the word grounded, but the their version of grounded reality that they've created. Mm-hmm. So you'll get cool references and Easter eggs to wild stuff that happened, but they don't actually have to bring that into the universe and make you kind of roll your eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully they keep doing that. We'll see.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, I just don't know anyone they could have brought Constantine in. Isn't that Marvel?
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
Isn't he like the devil or something?
Constantine? He's got like a deal with the devil.
They've kind of stayed away from I shouldn't say that. The street level heroes. They haven't stayed away from them, but they're the ones who are on, like, Netflix and TV show heroes versus the movie heroes.
Yeah, but, I mean, hell, I'd take a Constantine TV show. Oh, also, one thing I wanted to mention. They, I feel like, pretty seamlessly brought in and executed the Ultimate Spider-Man suit.
Yeah, it was a cool Ultimate Spider-Man / Iron Spider suit.
Yeah, yeah.
That was cool.
And it felt very natural. Like, at a certain point, I wanted to be a little, I don't know, are you doing too much? I mean, you've got Hulkbuster, you've got the new nanotechnology Iron Man suit, you've got the new Iron Spider, Ultimate Spider-Man suit, you know, you've got, were those two, like, shock tonfas new for Black Widow? They felt new.
I think they were new because she's had tonfas and batons in the past, and she had her shock gloves, and I think they just put those two together. It was the next logical step.
For sure. For sure.
Better entrance. Cap and the crew. I'm not going to... I really should have thought this question through before, because I was going to say Thor, but that's easy. And the Guardians of the Galaxy had a pretty good one, too, because it felt like a Guardians movie. I think they just did such a good job with all the characters. They really kind of flowed them all together.
Yeah.
And when they all appeared, it was in the exact way that you would expect them all to appear. Reappear.
So let's ask this. Whose story are you most excited to get back into?
Of the people we have left, or are you talking...
Of the people we have left.
Oof. I am wow. Well, we pretty much only have the original Avengers plus Rocket left and Nebula left.
And see, that's the thing. I'm very excited to see Tony Stark and Nebula.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Find a way off that planet.
Tony Stark going to be able to upgrade Nebula?
Oh my God. Of course he is.
That's one of the paths. You've got probably three payoffs in the next movie. One, Hulk finally appearing at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two, whatever crazy weapon Tony Stark installs in Nebula's
Ooh.
Arm. And three, probably all of the heroes coming back and just beating the ever-loving crap out of Thanos.
Yes.
One of my favorite parts of the whole movie was the big fight with Thanos on the homeworld where they almost got the gauntlet.
Yeah.
That was a very satisfying hero fight, which I feel like you don't find many of in films anymore.
Yeah. And it was really cool because the way they used everybody's abilities in that pretty short fight, actually, in the grand scheme of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They kind of used everybody's strengths and weaknesses, as we saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peter Quill.
Damn you, Peter Quill. Your hubris will be the end of us all.
Well, probably not.
A little.
We did get to see, which is really cool, because it didn't quite pay off in the same way in the Doctor Strange movie, but we got to see how really powerful that character is.
Yeah, yeah. And we got to see more of the Cloak of Levitation?
Yeah.
Which I loved. I feel like they didn't do enough to play that as a character in the Doctor Strange movie. So I was glad to see more of it in this.
Do you think it was lacking some of the kind of street level villains? So we talked about this a little bit in our Infinity War fan casting when I had Dr. Doom as villain, because that happened in Infinity Gauntlet. Again, it's tough because you already have so many characters you're working with, but I thought they really could have used a bad guy to kind of help him in this movie, because it is the fate of, even if you don't get along with the people, you could die if this group of people fails. And I kind of thought they missed the boat on that. And could
oh, yeah. No, I absolutely agree. But who is alive that could have even helped?
Well, and that's what's tough, too, because I'm going to look at the movies right now. I'm going to go through them in order real quick, and I'm going to name the villains. You guys tell me which ones you think would have worked, but there's only a few that are alive. We've got Ironmonger, dead. Whiplash, dead, I think. Loki, Red Skull, we found out. Loki again. The Mandarin, dead. Malekith, dead. Winter Soldier was Hydra and Bucky, Ronan, dead. Ultron, dead. Yellow Jacket, dead. Zemo in jail, also probably not helpful at all. What is that? Ego, dead. Vulture in jail, not super helpful. Hela, dead. Marvel does not like their villains much at all.
No, which actually, we can have a whole other conversation about that. Because
Killmonger, dead. Because Killmonger's one that you actually probably would have been.
Killmonger would have been at he would have been on the heroes team.
Yeah, in this iteration of Killmonger, he would have absolutely helped them, like, not get killed by an intergalactic force.
And he would have been, at least in combat, at least as effective as T'Challa was.
Yeah.
Very likely more so.
I did like the part. It was just a little thing, but I liked the part when Black Panther and Captain America ran out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, Marvel, because you really don't. Ego would have obviously been a huge help in that battle, but...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, they kill off all of their villains.
But if Ego hadn't died, can you imagine the fight between Ego and Thanos? Would Absolutely. Thanos have even fought? Because most of the universe would be Ego?
Well, yeah, that's true. If Ego had still been alive, it's because he succeeded in his plan. One that I missed because someone borrowed it. Mordo. Baron Mordo.
Mordo? Who am I...
He's Carl Mordo in Doctor Strange.
Oh,
yeah.
He wasn't the bad guy until the post-credits scene.
Yeah, that's a really good
Forgot
point.
About him.
Gotta think he'd still be like, well, we should probably all not die. Even though I don't believe in sorcerers, I do believe in life. There's nothing to indicate that he thinks life should
happen. I'm actually, now that you bring him up, I'm a little disappointed he didn't show up. No, I think you're right. I think this was a missed opportunity. Although, just like what you said, how are you going to fit even more characters into this movie that's already chock full? I think it would have helped them a lot to incorporate at least one. And I guess you kind of did. You can kind of count the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, you certainly, to a certain extent, you can.
But I think you're right. Like, it would have done them well to...
But even like Nebula was clearly not a bad guy anymore.
Yeah. This would have been a good movie because, both of those characters had turning points in previous movies. It would have been nice to have a powerful villain that we were maybe even slightly afraid of before have their turning point in this movie and have the clear cause of that turn be the imminent threat to the universe.
Bust the Vulture out of prison. I mean, he can't do much, but...
I mean, I'd like that. I mean, he's at least, again, he's probably close to as valuable as Falcon.
Yeah.
In a battle.
Especially if you have two of them.
Yeah. But think about this. I mean, forget, Vulture, awesome. But what's his name? The Tinkerer is still out there. The guy who made
Oh. Yeah.
Imagine if he comes and finally is like, oh, I have access to all this fresh Thanos technology. Great.
There's also two more villains I thought of. They are alive, but there's no way they'll ever get referenced again.
Okay.
Abomination and the Leader from the Incredible Hulk, the Edward Norton Incredible Hulk movie.
I remember Abomination. I don't remember the Leader.
The Leader was, what's that actor's name? He's in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yeah.
But he gets some of the Hulk juice on his head, and his head starts to grow.
In his brain, yeah.
That was a it's the Leader, a Hulk villain. Guess what? He's super smart and has brain powers. But that would have been real weird to bring those back, because they just haven't referenced anything about that movie other than the fact that the Hulk is around. Sure. I mean, even in the first Avengers movie, when Mark Ruffalo or Bruce Banner is like, "Oh, I tried to shoot myself." That's a deleted scene from the Hulk movie. That's the only reference to that movie is a deleted scene.
Yeah.
They kind of let that one go.
Which, I guess you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Ed Norton's Marvel career.
Well, rest in peace, his everything except, Wes Anderson career.
Yeah. I mean, he could come back for Fight Club 2.
He could. Is there a Fight Club 2 book?
There is, actually. I think it's a graphic novel, but it is written by Chuck Palahniuk.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I need to... That could be a whole other episode, but apparently in that one, Tyler Durden isn't something that was just created by the narrator of Fight Club. Tyler Durden has kind of been around as long as Mail on Wii has.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was never a Palahniuk fan. We will have to get into
that's a whole yeah. That's a whole other because I could do an hour just on Fight Club versus Choke, the book or the movie or both.
That's true. And I could do Fight Club versus Choke versus good, well written books. I'm just kidding. Well, any final thoughts on the cultural phenomenon for now that is Infinity War?
I don't think it disappointed. I think it had a steep check to write, and it wrote it in spades.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. My expectations, I tried to keep them tempered, but obviously they're going to be very, very high because even Marvel's bad movies weren't that bad. And yeah. I mean, I said this at the beginning, it was fan service, the movie, but they pulled it off better than I really ever thought they could. I do feel bad for the people, the reviews that were like, I didn't know what was going on. That's true. This is not a movie you can just walk into and fully enjoy.
Sure.
But yeah.
Sure.
There are 18 other movies that are playing a part here in some way, shape, or form.
Sure, but can you read, you know, like The Silmarillion and really enjoy? Maybe not, that's a bad example. Can you read Return of the King and really enjoy it?
Right. That was who's got their phone on. That was the joke, right? When the, of course, it was the New Yorker because they can't just be fine about things. They always have to be mega douchey about even things that I agree with them on. But it was, well, the characters aren't explained; they just sort of appear. Yeah, you've come into, unfortunately for you, part 19 of 19.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker isn't explained. He just sort of appeared.
Yeah.
Okay, well, who's this guy in all black that can't breathe properly? what's he going on?
who's Baron von Asma over here? Can a brother... I don't know what film credit is saying, can a brother, but...
Not too many. A lot of white guys and bow ties. Film critics.
Can a brother get a character in intro?
And another thing, where the heck is Jar Jar?
You know they kind of do now. If Jar Jar appeared in a movie, fans would be a little bit happy.
They really would.
The fan base yearns for Jar Jar.
Tragedy plus time.
Oh, George Lucas. You've become a tragedy to your own fans.
Well, except after Last of the Jedi, his own fans have come crawling back.
Yeah.
That's also true. Give us our own safe ideas again.
At least it was a terrible that we knew.
Well, that's about all I have.
Me too. Actually, I do have a 45-minute tirade I could go on, but I will go ahead and table that.
You can save that for your own podcast.
Doug yells at nothing. That's actually every morning for me.
Your poor wife.
Now she works earlier than me. She's gone by then.
Oh, so that's how you guys make it work. Well, all right.
I think we had a good discussion.
I think so too. I think we got a lot resolved. I think we all understand, I mean, ourselves better.
I really think that's true. We understand Thanos better.
And by proxy. Mm-hmm.
We understand that my cat does not want to hear me talk.
No. Aaron, you're saying by proxy?
Aaron said by proxy, and then I cut him off, and then he died.
This is all true. I was just going to make the joke of, we understand Thanos better, and by proxy, ourselves better. Which isn't too far of a joke, really.
No, it's fairly true. And by proxy, Proxima Midnight.
God damn it.
Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to this breakdown of Infinity War. I hope that you will let us know what you thought, what your thoughts and feelings are. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at SotsWatch.
SotsWatch, right?
That's the very one. Or like us on Facebook.
I spelled it for you.
We have a page there as well. So one last time, everybody, thank you so much. My name's Ben.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Aaron.
And keep watching, Sots.
Oh,
hey!
Oh.
We don't have to keep that.
No, we'll cut that. This is all cut.
This will definitely be cut. The entire 1 hour and 35 minutes cut.